I wanted to talk today about connection. On my Facebook feed, I put the title, The Missing Link. And I think that's quite interesting because what is really the most serious problem is that we are missing something and we're trying to find it. And all of us, regardless of where we live, regardless of our culture, our religion, our age, we're trying to find what's missing. Because we have a list of missing things. In this list of missing things, we include things like money, or we include things like, shall we say, love. We include things like friendship. We include things like living facility, jobs, activities. We include many different things in what's missing. It's quite a big list. What's missing? I have a list too. I'm not saying this is somehow disqualifies us as people. We all have a what's missing link. A what's missing list. And we're trying to always find what's missing and bring it into our lives. Now, what's really missing is our feeling of being connected. I mean, things are not really the most important aspect of life. All Eastern philosophy and many forms of other religious traditions speak about things as not being important. What's most important is the spirit, is the soul, is the connection to the divine, is the connection to our beloved deities, whoever they may be. We really want to have that connection, but all religions speak about it, connection. That this is actually the essence of the human life, and there are yogis, and there are swamis, and there are priests, and ministers, and meditators all over the world who are practicing the art of renunciation or detachment, living without things. Now, very few, now I don't mean this as an insult, I don't mean this as a criticism. It's actually part of life that what I'm saying, but very few live without things. Very few. It's just not part of the facility that we can easily have in our life to live without dependency on things. Now, there are reasons for that. For example, if you live in a cold place or you live in a place that requires shelter, you have to have some form of thing, unless you are very powerful, mystic, like the yogis who live in caves when it's really cold, and they increase their bodily temperature by meditating on the fire within, the Agni energy within, and they cause that flame within to heat their entire body in meditative state while they are in a very cold atmosphere. We're not going to do that. That's not something we're going to do. And when I mean we, I mean you and me and all of us, because we are people of this world. So we have a dependency and interaction with, a connection with, a relationship with things. But this is not really what's important. I mean, after all, even if you're a very rich person and you don't have to worry about things at all, you still need people. You need to have relationships. You need to have connection to people. Now, how that connection is made is different for many different forms of people. Some people, they might be thinking that their connection is through an audience. I'm connecting to you. You are an audience, whether you be in YouTube or Facebook or later on seeing in any way. I'm connecting to you. But this does not define me. In other words, this is not my definition of my missing link, the connection. My definition of what's missing and how to resolve that through a connecting to what's missing is to connect to the divine, to the supreme, to the personalities who are far beyond us in this world, who support us, who give the foundation upon which we play or work or act. That's actually the connection that I personally feel is my missing link. Sometimes I feel it missing and then I again try to make it connect so that I feel connected. Because, and I'm just sharing you how I feel, I'm not blowing my trumpet here, I'm just saying what I mean, is that I feel in this connection supported. I feel that if I just let go of my struggle to find something to fill a void, that gives me the possibility to fill myself with the energy of the Supreme, with Radha and Krishna, or Gaura Nithai, or whoever deity I am desiring to be with at that moment. So the more one is absorbed in seeking anything else than the Supreme, the Divine, the less capacity one has to make that connection. That does not mean these two things are mutually exclusive. It does not mean that if you connect to the divine, you can't seek anything in this world, or that if you seek anything in this world, you can't connect to the divine. They are not mutually exclusive. However, one is primary, the other is secondary. Now, you all know what's primary. I don't have to tell you. Primary is the connection to the deity. And when I say deity, I mean whatever spiritual, divine, supreme, absolute truth you wish to or feel that you can connect to. That is the primary link. And it is often the missing link, because it is primary. It is that link which gives sense, gives meaning to whatever degree is possible in this world, which is the secondary series of actions or secondary consideration for us as people, as humans, as those who are eager to feel that divinity. Now, I understand, while experimenting with this Facebook Live thing, I was trying to understand what people are broadcasting. And it was fantastic. There were people broadcasting all over the world. And when trying to find out a natural English broadcasting medium, there is something called Periscope on Twitter. I don't do that Twitter thing, so I don't do Facebook really either, but I was just seeing that people are just eager to connect. They're eager to connect, to put themselves out there and connect to people all over the world, or to connect to their circle of friends by broadcasting to their friends only. They love this. They become enlivened. Their faces show it. Their faces reflect how they feel about what they're doing. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. This is unprecedented in humanity. I mean, can you imagine? You live in a village. There's no technology. Your village is mainly revolving around, you grow some food and you sell it to others and they give you some services. You worry about water, you worry about rain. You interact with people when you meet them in the store. On Sunday, you go to church, you meet everybody together or eat together. That was the limit of interaction. For hundreds and thousands of years, the limit of community was right where you lived. My cousin in New York, I told him once, I said, hey, it's cool. You live in Manhattan and you've got all your friends all over the place. You just have to walk 3 blocks and you're at a friend's place. And he said, yeah, and I haven't seen him in 4 years. 4 years! What? And you would think in the building, you know, it's a hall and there's doors and it's a building. You'd know your neighbors, right? You live across the hall. Your door is open. There has to be some interaction. I mean, it was like that in Seinfeld. So, nope. Don't know anybody. I see them in the elevator. I say hi, the lift for you British folks. And that's it. Amazing. And so now I'm seeing this, that people actually felt there was something missing, that their capacity to broadcast themselves, it was a way to connect. And they're happy doing it. They feel good about it. They love doing it. This YouTube, I mean, it's billions of videos. Everybody connecting in various ways. It's just fabulous. But it's not the missing link. It's not stuff. It's not accumulation of stuff. It's another level. It's a level of connection without connecting. That's what's really cool. Maybe somebody writes to them while they're broadcasting. And in some cases, it was nasty what people said. I mean, like, oh my goodness. I was like, gee, things people say when they're not face to face. I guess some people think, well, you're broadcasting, you're putting yourself out there, so we're the critics, we're viewing you, we're going to review your performance, and if you're not entertaining us, we're going to write nasty things and we're going to throw rotten tomatoes at the screen, right on your face. Interesting. So some people are connecting in that negative way, that they like to say something nasty to others because they feel frustrated because people are nasty to them or they're not able to feel connected in their own lives. And I thought that was cool because you have those who are broadcasting, thinking they are connecting, feeling very good, happy about it. And those who are not connecting, are frustrated. And believe me, there's a lot more of us like that than we can imagine. We are angry inside because we're not connecting. We assume the one who's broadcasting is connecting. So they are safe. They are secure. They're doing the broadcasting thing. They're cool. So I can express my anger to them and try to feel cool about myself. And in this way, the interaction of connecting, and even though it's not, and feeling good about it, and not connecting and being able to be express the anger, find an audience, find an arena. Kind of like gladiators in a sense. I mean, not really, but there's the gladiator, and then there's the audience who wants them to chop their heads off. We're in the audience, we're bored to death. You know, here in Rome, everything stinks because people are not very clean, and it's just really a lot of chaos, and yeah, we don't get much fun in life. So here we are. So you guys kill yourselves, chop yourself to pieces so we can see arms, you know, and blood spewing out everywhere, and we'll cheer. It's actually in the tradition of humanity. It's in the tradition of historical eventing. Boxing's like that. Football's like that. Bash your brains in, and you become like crippled in the brain. Play football. Not that many old, healthy football players, I'll tell you. I mean American football, not real football. I'm prejudiced. I was one of the real football players, not the American football. So, connection, the missing link. It's not found in this realm, even if one tries to connect to millions of people. Movie stars can tell you that. Musicians can tell you that. You can connect to millions. It really doesn't help. It doesn't solve the missing link. I remember when I broadcast in, not broadcast, when I was the master of ceremonies at that Goranga Bhajan band concert in Moscow at the Olimpisky Stadium. Maybe some of you are old enough to remember that. 34,000 people. And the police left instantly when they saw all these people. And they said, they came up to me, the police guy, the guy in charge. He said, "You're in charge. You're responsible. If anything happens to any of these people, it's your fault." This is before the concert started. Yeah. And then all the police disappeared. We're not getting killed for this crowd. And when I walked out on the stage to start talking to people, introduce what we were going to do, and that Boy George was there too, and the whole thing, I was literally scared to death. I mean, it was an intense energy, scary, frightening. Did not miss broadcasting in front of a stadium with music or anything after that. I was cured for life. I'm very happy with me here and a bunch of cameras up there. Now we have a bunch of cameras. You YouTube people will probably, not YouTube, I'm doing YouTube as the main camera. Facebook is the secondary camera, so it's at an angle, so they see me in a little different way. They don't see all of me, and I can't fix that right now. And Maha's seeing me in another way. It's like a mess of cameras. I'm happy with that. Distant. There's a distance between me and responsibility. You can't throw tomatoes at me. I like that. You also can't have 34,000 people charging the stage, you know, and crushing us to death. They didn't do it anyway. They were the most The one or two police people who did stay said this was the most peaceful crowd in Russian history. They could not believe it. They were astounded. Yeah, so I tried to take some credit for that. You know, you have to take some credit where I knew I had nothing to do with it. But yeah, because we're spiritualists, everybody felt very, and they did, I guess. But this is safe. And I get it when people, I get it when people broadcast. I get it. It's, you just put it out there and you don't worry about reactions. I mean, I have no clue what people are saying on the Facebook feed. I don't even know if they can. I can't even see it. I don't even care. And the one in YouTube is great. It's all in Russian and I don't read it. So I'm in this illusion that all is well. But I'm also very aware this is not the missing link. This is not really the connection. Because I know most of you. And that makes a big difference. I'm not just broadcasting to just anybody. I'm really broadcasting to people I know. And I feel that. I feel the connection because we are already connected. It's not like, say, a completely blank audience and, you know, I have to develop the connection. We're already connected. But that's exactly what I'm talking about when I speak about the divine connection. We're already connected. This idea that we're not connected, this is actually the illusion that's most dangerous in this world. To think that you are alone. To think you stand alone. Now, I know that's very difficult. I've been helping Balavanta. I don't know if any of you know him. He's been a lawyer for a long time. Very intelligent guy. Writes fabulous legal briefs. I'm really impressed. So I help him in whatever way I can. And I'm like hearing these stories about people who have lost husbands or wives to really bad elements in the world. Really bad. They're really suffering. And, you know, I mean, like, it's easy to say that all that matters is getting that divine connection. And we're always connected. We're not alone. It's easy to say that. It's very hard to feel that in the face of animosity or aggression or loss. And I get it when the rabbis, some, not all of them, some of them after World War II really lost their faith in God. How can God do this to us? How can God stand by and allow our people to be killed in this manner? Not only killed, starved, beaten, tortured, humiliated, and killed. How can God do that? It's easy to say, and even not that easy to say, when you don't have problems. Sometimes it's even harder, but it's easy to get into that if you really try to feel the connection and to understand you're not alone. Because that's just a question of discipline. That's a question of learning. That's a question of accepting, of being in good association to help you develop that mood, to develop that attitude. But if, for example, your entire family is being killed, and you're next, how do you not feel alone? How do you not feel abandoned? You can talk about whatever philosophy you might have, but to actually not feel abandoned, not feel alone, not feel forsaken by God. I mean, even Christ felt like that on the cross at one point. It's easy to philosophize when circumstances are not that bad. But when circumstances are very, very traumatic in ways you couldn't even imagine, to feel connected, to not feel alone, to feel that you are loved and that you can love in return is a masterpiece of spiritual capacity. To feel that you have that connection when there's everything in the universe saying you are just alone and being slaughtered by existence. Now, it is possible, and there are examples in the Vaishnava literature of this, of people, devotees who are suffering in ways which you can't even begin to imagine. So it's possible. And you even know people who have gone through this. I remember Nanda Grama, before she passed away, helping her in whatever little way I could. And the communication from her was, I'm going to stay alive long enough to have this child. And I'm going to stay alive for this child. So she did. I mean, having so much cancer that you cannot basically go on, and she went on anyway for the sake of this child. I was amazed. There are examples. We know these examples. We have seen them with people around us. You folks in Russia who were in detainment camps, in concentration camps, who were in all of these places because you wanted to be a Hare Krishna. The amount you suffered is inconceivable to others. And yet, you felt connected. You didn't feel alone. It is possible. It is possible. And it is possible because it is true. It's not that it's possible just because it's a belief. It's possible because it's true. It's true that you are not alone. It's true that you are always connected. It's true that you are always supported. It's true. But how that, in what context that manifests, it's not up to us to determine it. We are not the determiners of what happens. We are the determiners of how we react to what happens. Okay, sometimes we make things happen. Sometimes we push something in a particular direction. And sometimes we can actually fulfill a plan. We can actually accomplish something we wish to accomplish. And other times, we cannot. Sometimes it is completely out of our control. Sometimes it is so out of our control, we lose our minds. But still, it is our reaction to it that defines who we are. You know this. You experience it every day. Every single day you experience this. You experience defining yourself in the face of adversity. Now, just broadcasting is also a way to define yourself. Because if you don't define yourself, somebody else will. Somebody will define you for you. So, learning to define yourself in all circumstances, really does display who you are. So part of our connecting is to feel the connection to the divine, to feel the connection to the supreme, to Radha and Krishna, or whatever deity you wish to connect to. It's the same in all. Names are different. This mechanism or the attitude, the meditational process, the discipline is all the same. Maybe details here and there, doesn't matter. So we have that responsibility to feel that connection, to then express ourselves in the atmosphere of feeling secure. Once you are connected, you are secure. You are secure in the sense that you know you're not alone. You know, no matter what, you have some powerful backup. The most powerful backup. And here's where dependency on that is a good thing. The dependency to know you're backed up, you're not alone. And to move forward in your life, feeling that backup, feeling that support, feeling that connection, and being ready to make adjustments at any moment when adjustments are required. Here's where things like ego, in the sense of I, whoever I am now in this existence, is more important than my essence. At any point in time when you make that decision, ego is involved. And to the degree ego is involved, to that degree, divinity is no longer connected. So while making that connection, while feeling that security, you're not alone. You are embraced in the hands of God. That's not a philosophy. That is an axiomatic truth. You are embraced in the hands of God. But what you do with it separates philosophy, belief, faith, and so on. There are as many divergent paths of what you do when you think you have been saved as there are people. So, connection, once that connection is made with God, the next step, and indeed, in as far as practical reality goes, the most important step, is to choose and decide what I'm going to do next. When adversity comes to me, when someone is expressing the frustration they feel because they don't feel connected, or they do feel alone, they do feel abandoned, and they're going to lash out expressing frustration and anger, what you do at that point defines who you are in ways which you cannot define by simply broadcasting some words on YouTube or Facebook. That challenge, when you are faced with the pain of another being, regardless it's a human being, an animal, or a lesser being, what you do when you're faced with the pain of that being, that essence, which is now in that particular body, defines you in a much greater, much more comprehensive, a much deeper manner than any words you can broadcast on any media in existence. And don't forget, and here's the kicker, do not forget, everybody is in pain in one way or another. You scratch the surface of any person and allow them, by listening, allow them to express what's their feeling, their pain, and what's behind it. You'll find that I feel alone, I feel misunderstood, I don't feel appreciated, I don't feel acknowledged, I was abandoned, I didn't have support when I needed it when I was young, I don't feel support from my family or my society, my government, my world. I've lost, there's no God because no God helps me. This is the challenge of modern society more than any other time. And that pain is being reverberated throughout this planet. And pain makes things hot. Pain is a friction. Pain is an energy of heat. It's acidic. It's hot. And the environment is reflecting that. And some say, I don't give a damn about the pain. I'm going to keep on polluting to make more and more money, because money is the only solution. Money is the only thing that matters. It's this pain screaming, the fundamental expression, this feeling that I'm abandoned, so I should just take care of myself and to hell with everybody else. A lot of people feel like that. More than you can imagine. It's very acidic. You know, acid, alkaline. Both of them burn, by the way. Both of them burn. It's very interesting. Too much acid burns, too much alkaline burns. Different ways, but it's burned nonetheless. You got to be in the middle. A balance between acid and alkalinity. Acidic and alkaline, almost always got to balance it in some way. The real balance is that connection to the supreme, to the divine, to God and the divine being, the divine energy, the divine nature that we are surrounded with, and ourselves. And then in this feeling of strength and protection, we go forward in this world and demonstrate what we are, who we are, in the attitude of how can I be of service? Not this idea, I'm your servant, which immediately is lost as soon as there's some reason to lose it, which is like usually within 3 minutes. But the desire to be of service, the desire to be there when someone needs us, the desire to support others as we feel supported, to share as we feel sharing has occurred. And this is what's missing in this world today. Even though there's more communication now than in any other time in the history of mankind by a billion times. It's everywhere, the whole atmosphere. If you could see these frequencies that are being broadcast everywhere as physical, if they had, you know, like when the bullets from the machine gun, they go, you see them in the sky, or the plane and it leaves that trail. If you could see those frequencies, you wouldn't see anything else. It'd be like in the Matrix, you know, when Neo's in there, it would be all completely solid, just, it'd be so bright you'd get lost. All this broadcasting everywhere. And yet, we feel alone, even when we're together. Because if you're together and people don't appreciate you, don't support you, don't acknowledge you, don't see you for who you really are, you feel alone. You can be in a party. Even somebody's talking to you, you can feel alone. I hate parties for that reason. They are absolutely the worst possible situation, unless you're really lucky to have a good group of people together where it actually gels. So, I don't know. I don't know what to say as to what we should do. I've said, of course, we should connect. We should feel the connection. We should express. We should, yeah, sure. That's easy to make a lecture about. That's the easy part. Hard part is practically doing that in every minute of the day. Hard part. To live by it. To walk the talk. I don't know, you say that in Russian, walk the talk? It's kind of weird, even as I said it in English, I said, what's that supposed to mean, walk talk? I guess it's supposed to mean to act according to your words, I get that, but walk your talk? Maybe it's from California or something like that. So, I'm going to take a break. And if you want to, on YouTube, send me a, or, wait a minute, I just realized, is Sati there? Boy, we don't have our translator, we don't have our moderator. We don't have Sati. Oh my God. So maybe Maha, I don't know, maybe you need to take a break too, of course, because you're working as hard as I am. If somebody can get us a translation together, oh my God, there may be questions here, I have no idea. I hope Sati's okay. Oh yeah, if you read me the questions, but then the people in Facebook would be sitting there while I'm just like listening and not knowing what I'm listening to. It's better in writing because then I can read it and everybody can hear it. So we're going to take a break, not more than 5 minutes. Not more than 5 minutes. And then we'll continue. So I'm going to leave everything going so you can all go take a break. See ya. I'm back. Hey, your camera's on ICQ again. Get rid of that. Not because I don't like to see you. Not at all. That's not the reason. Because it burns up bandwidth. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't see any questions translated. Are there any questions or is it just comments? Okay, comments are okay. Any questions? Well, they don't have to have questions. We are okay with no questions. Very okay. And I'm very happy that you all participated and tolerated this Facebook YouTube experiment today. I mean, that's so good of you all. I can't get me in the middle with Facebook and at the same time be in the middle with YouTube. It's not possible. It's just like, it's either one or the other. Let me see. At what point does it hit my camera? Oop, it already hit. Yeah, this stinks. I don't know how to fix this sort of thing. This is just one of those old-time cameras hanging over the screen. Not very cooperative. Yep. Oh, that's you. Did you translate it or somebody ask it? Okay. Many spiritual gurus say that the ultimate goal is to unite with eternity. Then the suffering will go away and you will not be born in this bad place anymore. Yeah. But you will be forever with God and everything will be fine. But I do not want to be like them. I want to be myself. And they take offense at this. They say I'm an egoist. Oh! Okay. No, you're not an egoist. I don't think that the idea of unite with eternity, that is a phrase that I think you would have a very hard time discussing practically. Eternity, okay, I get the idea that you should, let's just change the word eternity because that's too complicated. Let's say unite with spirit, because spirit is ever-existent. So unite with the ever-existence. And you are also part of the ever-existence because you are existing right now, always, and forever. So when you unite with yourself, in other words, you connect with yourself as the person who has connected with the divine, then you are ever existing. And you are already in that place, that best place. And if you have such connection, why should you take birth again? So you are right. And they are right. It's just a question of how you see the terminology. If they were to say you're egoistic because you keep thinking you have some independent existence or you have some consciousness which is separate from all-pervading spirituality. You know, typical way in which that philosophy is discussed. We know better. We know that we're one and different. We're simultaneously here. And we are simultaneously always spirit, always connected. We are also simultaneously always existing as an individual essence, and we are always connected to that essence of which we are part. All is well, always remains well. We are fine. So don't bother with people who try to tell you otherwise. What's the use? If you don't believe it, what's the use? It's like trying to connect with somebody who doesn't like you or you don't agree with. You can criticize or you can make trouble for somebody. That's not what we're talking about here today. Today we're talking about connection. So why would you want to fight upstream? Some of the spiritual leaders tell me, do not be lonely. Come to us, we know the truth and God is with us. But you need to sacrifice your personality to be like us all and then we'll hold you. Oh, I already answered it. Okay. Aha! I answered what wasn't there. Mystic power. Maybe because I secretly read the Russian, but I shouldn't tell anybody because of the connection. I'm exposed. Good thing they don't read the, what was it, the Nadeja? Let's see. Well, I guess that's it. I guess we quit for the day. And I guess that we'll see you again. 14 and 1 makes 15, I suppose. Yes! April 15th, we shall meet again. And I wish you luck. I wish you love. I wish you connection. I wish you to never feel alone, to never be alone, to never feel not appreciated, to always feel acknowledged, and to always express that to others, how they are acknowledged, how they are appreciated, how they are loved. And we'll just transform our little circles of broadcast by making it a very beautiful place to live. So I say goodbye to you for now and see you on the 15th.